I had a confirmation from Bob Walter yesterday. We were sitting, waiting for the men's prayer breakfast, and I thought, I'm going to bring up a Neil Diamond song to start off my sermon. I thought, should I really do that or not? Well, lo and behold, we're talking, and Bob Walter brings up a Neil Diamond song. Can you guess what the song is? Maybe his biggest hit? Sweet Caroline. You got it! Well, what does Sweet Caroline have to do with the text today? I will explain this, but let's first pray and ask God's blessing. Father, as we look into your word today, a really interesting account of a Jewish scholar, a leader, going to Jesus at night. He was compelled to meet with Jesus and talk through some things. Father, these are important things, and as we examine your word today, speak to our hearts, strengthen our faith. May our love for you and our love for our neighbor grow deeper and stronger. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, on occasion I have gone down to a football game in Washington, D.C. Every time my team played the Eagles, we usually lost. But I'm not bitter, Jane, at all. But what some of you were doing, it seemed to happen in the stadium. So you know what, if you go to either a college game that's on TV or a pro game, they have these things called commercial breaks, right? So like it could be third down and something, but there has to be like a TV break. And the players are just kind of standing around. I mean, they're just standing there for 5 minutes while the commercials are going on TV. They're not doing anything, they're just kind of standing there. Well, a lot of times, they have played that song by Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline. And there you are in a stadium of 65,000 people, and it seems that everyone is joining in singing, Sweet Caroline, ba ba ba. And I thought, I wonder what Neil Diamond would think of that. I did a little research. Neil Diamond wrote that song probably in the 60s, I guess. I guess it was thought of it was about Carolyn Kennedy, but I don't think it was. I think it was about his wife at the time, whose name was Marcia, but he needed a three-syllable name, not two. So he used Caroline. But he wrote that by himself in a hotel room in about an hour, by himself. And I wonder if in that quiet moment when he's writing those words, Sweet Caroline, if he ever dreamt that that would be sung in stadiums around the country by thousands of people. I wonder if Nicodemus had ever occurred to him that when he quietly made his way at night over to talk with Jesus, that conversation would perhaps be one of the most famous Bible passages of all time. One that you also might see at a football game. Who knows what it is?
John 3:16.
16, yeah. I wonder if that ever crossed his mind. Here's this private conversation I want to talk, but 2,000 years down the road, this is going to be perhaps one of the most common and well-known Bible passages. The text for this morning is really lengthy. I wanted to step through parts of it. I don't want to take a lot of time. It is a communion Sunday, so I'll kind of get to the point. I did something really cool. So I pasted the text in Word, and I have Nicodemus' words in green and Jesus in red. So I kind of was able to track the dialogue between them. Nicodemus showed up at night. He didn't ask any questions. At first he said, Rabbi, Jesus, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. So if you look at the text in the bulletin, and I don't care if you want to get your bulletin and kind of look with me. Jesus, his response is, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Jesus cuts right to the quick. He gets to the matter right off the bat. So Nicodemus says in verse 4, how can someone be born again when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised, Nicodemus, that you must be born again. What crosses your mind when you hear that phrase, you must be born again? Billy Graham, or he's, you know, of course, long gone, but, you know, a Billy Graham meeting or something? You know, in the Lutheran tradition, that may be a little different than it might be if this was a Baptist church or Assemblies of God or even Methodist, right? What does that term mean to you, born again? A couple things that I want to highlight. It is a thing. It really is a thing. That phrase doesn't come from a movie like The Jesus Revolution, which I really want to see. I heard it's really good. Did anyone see the movie yet? Okay, Keith, anyone else? I'm going to go see it. I hear really good things about it. So that is a thing. This concept of a second birth is a biblical concept. It wasn't created in the Jesus movement. It's a scriptural concept for us all to see. What it is it is essentially a transformational event that takes place inside our hearts. The interesting thing is, here's Nicodemus. He is scholarly. He has a long history. He is high in the Jewish leadership. He's going to Jesus and saying, we know you're a teacher, Rabbi. Nicodemus, do you know that you must be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God? I can see Nicodemus saying, wait a minute, wait right there. Do you know what? Have you seen my resume? Have you seen where I went to school, my background, my credentials, my long history of studying the Jewish law, my leadership in the Sanhedrin? Are you aware of that, Jesus? And Jesus' response is, that's all good, but you got to be born again. That's good. Not a bad thing. Not a bad thing to have all those credentials and all that training and all that history. That's a good thing. But do you know you have to be transformed in here? That all of that training and experience won't get you in the door. It's impressive. It's a transformational event. And God calls us all, whether we're Lutheran, whether we're Assemblies of God, whether we're Baptist, whether you're a Presbyterian. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore the what? This is a little story. This is a long, long time ago. My son Noah was probably, who knows, 17, yeah, maybe 18. I'm going to get a tattoo, Dad. Oh, no. We're not going down that path. No, I really want to get one. No. Well, it's a Bible verse. Oh, okay. This is what he got tattooed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come. Ezekiel, many scholars would say, is kind of alluding to this whole concept of the new birth. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. This is a transformational event that God calls us to experience. It doesn't have to be coming up to, to an altar. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It can be you going home in your living room this afternoon or tonight and saying, God, I don't know. I want it. If it's from you, I want it. If it's not from you, I don't want it. I don't want to go off in any crazy fads or anything. But if it's a genuine movement of the Holy Spirit and you want me to have that, I want it. I want it. It's a real thing. It's not made up. It's a biblical concept. There doesn't seem to be any way to get around it, that God wants to do a new work in our heart. Right. This is inside of us at some point. And I know, as Lutherans, our baptism is an important part of that process. It's an important part of our entrance into the family of God. But God wants us to have this new heart. The beautiful thing is it's available to all. It's available to everybody. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes shall have eternal life. That's how I want to encourage you today. Whatever that phrase reminds you of or goes through your mind, we should all want this transformation in our heart to take place. We want to be changed by God. We want to love in ways that we didn't think we could love. We want to be changed in a way that is revolutionary. Are you with me? I want it. I want it. And I do think it's a continual thing. I don't think it's a once and done thing. I think it is something that we grow in and we evolve in our faith. But we should want God to continue to make us better on the inside. Be transformed. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Our God, we see this incredible and very interesting account of this dialogue between a very open-minded Pharisee who was in the initial stages of faith, but didn't want it to be public, so met with Jesus to inquire more deeply, and Jesus went right to the heart of the matter, in that we, the people who you love, need a transformation. And not just once, but there does seem to be an initial time when we say, God, I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving my heart to you. Change me. Do a work of the Holy Spirit in my life and make me that new creation that the Apostle Paul talks about. Lord, I know for me, I desire to grow from faith to faith and grow deeper. And I do desire to be transformed in ways that maybe I didn't think I could. And all I got to do is call out to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.